Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
It's the Round the Rock Podcast, starring Dave Schilling, Buddy Boeheim, Charlie Villanueva, he was a cancer, Joey Devine, Happy Hairston, Vince Dumbo, Sean Keane, Jackie Robinson, but not that Jackie Robinson, David Third Kill, special guest Tom Not Tom, Patreons Richard Fuck, thank you Richard, Josh Cohen, thank you Josh, Jack Keneally, thank you Jack, musical guest Uncle Cracker, and now the temporary host of Round Ball Rock, Joey Devine.
Hi, it's me, Joey Devine, your temporary host of the Round Ball Rock podcast, and we are back with a brand new episode. I'm here, as always, with America's Uncle Dad, your friend and mine, Sean Keane. Sean, how was your Christmas?
My car actually got stolen from outside my house on Christmas. It was the Grinch.
Merry fucking Christmas, dude.
I know.
Did they get it back?
They found it. I don't really know how damaged it is. Apparently, they used a method found on TikTok to steal my car. And I could tell because when I saw it briefly, there was a USB cord sticking out of the steering column. And I have to say, when I saw that, I didn't blame TikTok anymore. I was like, that's actually on the car manufacturer, I think, to allow, like, why is there a USB port, like, where my key should be? Seems like they didn't build that, but, yeah, so that happened.
Well, I'm sorry.
I have some exciting news, though.
Oh, what's the news?
When, you know, they ever say, when a door shuts, a window open called the release date for America's Uncle Dad, my debut comedy album.
Oh, great. What date?
March 15th.
Hell yeah, dude.
It's really happening. It's really happening. You may think. Hopefully it's happening.
Well, that's exciting.
Things could go wrong before that. I had all the masters in my car. They didn't make any backups. Like the guy from Misery. Everything's just on an 8-track tape. No backups.
Well, Sean, I'm sorry your car got stolen on Christmas.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry it meant that you couldn't go to the movie theaters and see Ferrari with me, which is a true story.
Yeah.
So yeah, I also experienced car mayhem.
That's true.
Because I saw Ferrari.
Yeah, my car got recovered while you were seeing Ferrari. Very exciting stuff. But they didn't really call me in time, so it just went to a tow yard.
Speaking of cars, today, we're talking about Motor City, baby.
Ooh.
The home of John Varvatos, the toughest man alive. The home of Iggy Pop. The home of pizza that has brick cheese on it and the sauce on top of the brick cheese.
What?
The home of Tim Robinson.
The home of the Raconteurs.
Mm-hmm. Steady as she goes, baby. The home of that band where the guy from the Raconteurs beat the shit out of him that did the Rescue
Vines?
Me theme song. I forget the name of that band.
The Von Bondies.
The Von Bondies, yeah. Remember when Jack White beat that guy up so bad? His face was all messed up? Yeah.
Greta Van Vliet.
Yeah.
Vliet. It's not Vliet. They're mm-hmm. not a...
Motown. all right. That's right. We're doing this as a Christmas present for our listener Abe, who called us very depressed last week.
Not happy.
And Corbin was so mean to him. So we wanted to talk to an actual Pistons fan, our friend Tom, not Tom. I guess. You know what? Before we get to Tom, though, let's hear Abe's call one more time.
Yeah. Without just pure hate being spit at him by a friend of ours.
Sometimes... You
know, sometimes an alpha gets on your podcast. Yeah, it's really... You just got to strap in and see where the alpha takes you.
I don't know what I did with Abe's call.
Hold on. Hog. Joey, I'm going to tell you some more people from Detroit while you find that.
Yeah, please do.
Steve Ballmer is from Detroit.
From the toilet speech?
From the toilet speech.
I did not know that Steve Ballmer is from Detroit, but he is like a Tim Robinson character, so it makes sense.
What about did you know that Jimmy Hoffa was from Detroit?
Yes, I did know Jimmy Hoffa was from Detroit.
How about John DeLorean?
No, I assumed he was just from cocaine.
Yeah, I mean, he's sort of from cocaine. What about boy, there are a lot of not very well known. Ernie Hudson.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I think I could have guessed Ernie Hudson was from Detroit. He reads Detroit to me.
Sam Raimi.
I think I knew that.
Dave Coulier.
No, yeah, I thought he was Canadian.
This guy I think reads pretty Detroit. J.K. Simmons.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Tim Allen from Detroit, I believe. Right? Or is that just his character?
Yes. No. He is definitely from Detroit. And prison, where he was a snitch.
All right, here's Abe's voicemail.
Hey, guys, it's Abe. From Michigan, unfortunately in Los Angeles. As a Pistons fan, what do I do? Like, it's hard to... Like, we've lost, like, 20 fucking games in a row. What, like, do I just find a different team? Do I just, like, walk into traffic? Please advise. Thank you.
Okay, well, Abe, we brought our friend Tom, not Tom, on. And I should say, we say multiple times when we recorded this, but Tom is a soothsayer. He did not tell us that when... We recorded this, but we recorded this well before Christmas.
Yeah.
And he has since gone on to be entirely correct about what games the Detroit Pistons win or not in this case.
Did you see what happened tonight, Joey?
They almost beat the Celtics and then didn't.
Yeah, that's pretty much what happened. They were up by 21 points in the first half, and then they remembered they were the Pistons.
Mm-hmm.
But what's crazy is they blew that whole lead in the third quarter and then played them dead even and forced overtime.
Mm-hmm.
They were even leading 50 minutes and 20
Look, here's what I'll say about this Pistons team.
Yeah.
They're not the Bobcats. Like,
No. No, like, they're not.
If anything, this run here has kind of proven that Cade Cunningham is good. You just need to get people around him, right?
Yeah, he's scored 72 points.
Like, he is not Gerald Henderson, who was the best player on that Bobcats team that was the losingest team ever. Like, there are some good players. I don't know why they're DMPing Asar Thompson, though. That doesn't make any sense.
I mean, so much of the team doesn't make sense. Like, it does not make sense that they're as bad as they are. And anyway, tonight they lost their 28th game in a row, as absolutely predicted by our upcoming guest.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go talk to Tom, not Tom. All right, we're here with our friend, Pistons expert, Tom, not Tom, on Twitter.com. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm really excited to talk about Reacher Season 2. I'm just really enthusiastic about this, and I just really want to get into all the Alan Richardson talk.
We do love Alan. We stan Alan Richardson here on the podcast. Here's my question.
Go ahead, sorry.
Go ahead, Sean. Your bit was going to be better.
NBA team do you think Alan Richardson would contribute the most to this season?
So he's got, I feel like he would probably play like a Craig Smith or like a Carl Landry type. Mm-hmm. Like he'd be like a bruiser down low.
He's not as big as the book Reacher, and even that Reacher is only 6'5".
Yeah, that's, so yeah, undersized center, like Chuck Hayes, PJ Tucker. Mm-hmm. Trying to think of who's a little thin. Honestly, the Detroit Pistons could really use him right now.
Yeah, why not another center? Get him in there.
He's got big hands. He can get into the passing lanes. I think it's a match made in heaven. Lunch pail attitude.
You put him and Beef Stew together, too. Like, there's going to be some casualties, I think. Those are that's the toughest front court in basketball.
I think it'd be great. They'd do some Bosch-style banter between each other that's written by, like, a 60-year-old guy. It's going to be great.
Hold on. I've got a bone to pick with you there, Sean. James Wiseman cannot be part of the toughest front court in basketball, even if Ron Artest and, I don't know, Charles Oakley were on this team.
Yeah, I just mean Richardson and Stewart.
Oh, I know. I just mean James Wiseman is part of the front court. He brings it down.
I mean those two guys. I don't know if... I mean... He makes his own bed. Reacher probably doesn't do that at all because he just wears clothes until they fall off his body. They're so filthy. But he might speak Mandarin like James Wiseman does.
They probably drop him out of a helicopter, and then that's what gets Reacher all pissed off to like go out and drop a 30-30 game.
Yeah, right, he's like, we called him Big Jim. Did you know the Warriors called him Big Jim briefly?
Well, not the Warriors. Bob Fitzgerald did briefly, and they should have kept it. I honestly think he has a different career if everyone just called him Big Jim.
I'm looking. I gotta see if they have this on his basketball reference page. They do. It's after Big Ticket, which is that's not his nickname.
Big Ticket.
Isn't that Kevin Garnett's nickname?
That is Kevin Garnett's nickname. Yeah. I guess
a lot of similarities between those guys.
We've let Tom stall a little bit here. Tom, the reason we have you on is our friend Abe called the other day to ask about if he should continue being a Pistons fan. And Corbin Smith bullied him. Sean and I sort of defended him. We tried, but you can't cage that great wolf. So let's start with that. Tom, you're a Pistons fan. You watch this team every single minute they play basketball. Should Abe continue being a Pistons fan?
I think that it is okay to have a side team, but I do think that having a hometown team that you're loyal to, even when they're maybe the most embarrassing professional franchise that is currently going. Mm-hmm. I just think it's important to have something that roots you, you know, to your local community. It's a thing that you can talk about to people. You can complain about them. I love to complain about them.
But he lives in Los Angeles.
Yeah, but he's from Michigan, from what I could tell for that. So I think also it's like you maintain your connection with your home state. And also, like, are you going to root for the Lakers? Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, isn't Tim Allen still a Pistons fan, I assume?
I think he thinks that they play a little too showy and maybe not with the blue collar.
Yeah, I heard Kid Rock said he was wishing for the days of Bill Laimbeer and that he couldn't believe that they let Luke Kennard go.
Well, it's, I mean, what's the commonality between those guys? I'm assuming he just like shooters. I don't know what else.
Yeah. Just guys who play the game the right way. Coaches on the floor is who he likes.
Can I not to further derail us from the topic at hand, but I just want to say, I think it is one of the most insulting things to me as a Pistons fan ever was that they had Kid Rock narrate the Bad Boys 30 for 30. It's completely unforgivable.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It should have been Iggy Pop.
Oh, that would have been so sick. Yeah.
What if it was Sam Richardson?
Better. I like a nice goofy narration. Yeah, have Sam and Tim go in on it.
So Tom, can you walk us through what's happened here to the Pistons? Because even post James Wiseman trade, even though they only won two games or whatever, it seemed like they were young and exciting, and like they signed Monty Williams and they had a bunch of, there were good vibes, and then all of a sudden it's the opposite. What do you think? What's the main culprit here?
I feel like every time that I dig deeper on this, because I you're right. Like, it's easy to forget how I felt when they were 2-1 and they were coming off of, this was before Halloween now. Uh-huh. And they were coming off of like two double digit wins and like a pretty close road loss to the Heat. So it was like, OK, they're finally turning the corner. Got a couple vets. Alec Burks was shooting well. And it was like, OK, they're going to be, nobody expected them to be a playoff team, but it's like maybe they get into the play in. Maybe if they win 30 games, everybody's really happy they've taken a step forward. Yeah. But I feel like anytime that I've tried to dissect this further as it's gotten worse, it's like, I just can't come up with a single explanation for it. There's too many factors at play. Everybody seems to be performing incompetently. And when you get down to the nitty gritty and you start getting into like on off numbers and stuff like that, it's like going through someone's books that's in like $1 million worth of credit card debt, where there's just like, it's just, you don't see a way out. You don't know how they got there. None of it makes any sense. You don't know how they were living that way for that long. Like, it just seems like the bill came due on a whole bunch of stuff at once, and it caused the entire franchise to collapse.
Yeah, like, Monty Morris is supposed to be cool and good and, like, a grown-up. Like, it's not like this is a team of not grown-ups, you know what I mean? Like,
well, the grown-ups have not really been playing.
Right, but still...
Well, the thing with that, though, is because it is a good point. I feel like... it's easy to go through the excuses for this team because I think it's a completely thankless job to be a beat writer for the Pistons right now. Yeah. I think it's hard to get access unless you're making a lot of excuses for them. But the excuse for a long time was like, oh, the vets are out. Bojan's hurt. Monty Morris isn't back yet. Isaiah Livers is going to be a stabilizing presence when he gets back because he's like a 27-year-old second year player. But like, anytime that they've actually gotten someone back, it's gotten worse. Like, it's gotten worse since Bojan came back. And it's nice to see him out there. Like, their spacing's gotten better. Cade has played better. But again, like, I just feel like I know that they're bad and I know it's not working. And it doesn't seem like Monty Williams is helping. And it doesn't seem like the vets are helping. And I think ultimately what it comes back to is that this is a team that is not, that is being assembled by a general manager that doesn't care about team composition. And I think that mm-hmm. finally ultimately fucked them this year.
Yeah, because this is about the third year in a row where they've just been acquiring guys, regardless of any position. It's just guys and value and tradable contracts, because that they had that bizarre offseason before 2021. Was that when it happened?
Are you talking about the one where they had like eight centers, where that's the joke? Yeah, where they been making
about what year then? Did they sign Plumlee?
So that was the
2 years ago.
It was the 2020 offseason. So that was Weaver's first offseason. They signed Jeremy Grant. Uh-huh. They signed Mason Plumlee and Jahlil Okafor. And I believe they traded for Tony Bradley and then waived him. Mm-hmm. And that was at the point where the centers were starting to hit critical mass.
I mean, his record is pretty incredible. It's the 2020 offseason gets, he does a lot really fast. Because they trade Luke Kennard too. Yeah. So they end up with Killian Hayes that year, Saben Lee. They get rid of Luke Kennard and Bruce Brown to get Sadiq Bey, and they get Beef Stew too, right? Is that right?
Yep. They traded, I believe, lumped into that. His trade, there's a bunch of, I went back and looked at these trades on Basketball Reference, yeah. And they're always ones that get turned into four team deals after the fact. So yeah, it's really hard to parse them. And but you're they, like, I want to say that they got DeLon Wright in the trade that got them Beef Stew, and they got Trevor Ariza and bought him out. And that they traded a super protected future first to Houston, I believe.
And they trade Christian Wood in that deal. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and Christian Wood was also
somehow there's still a lingering second round pick that they're going to get, I think. But just a huge amount of action. He does get DeLon Wright when they unload Ariza. It's such a crazy bunch of ideas. And yeah, Josh Jackson and Wayne Ellington also joined the team.
Here's a question.
Anyway, yeah, sorry.
Alec Burks has made the playoffs one time in his career, I believe, and it was the Sixers, right? He might have made it, but is it Alec Burks? Is he the problem, or is he just cursed?
This year, he's actually been a big part of the problem. I thought he was awesome last year. Like, this is another thing that this front office has a problem with, is guys will, bets will be hot, and they'll be in a position to maybe flip them for something good, and they'll hold on to them too long, and then they'll hold on to them till they suck, and then they'll either waive them or trade them for nothing, basically. Because he was awesome last year. He was awesome in like the first three games of this season, and then he injured his forearm, and he hasn't been able to shoot since then.
Because he signed with the Golden State Warriors, and they won 15 games. Then the Warriors traded him to the Sixers, where they were swept in the first round of the Boston Celtics. Then he goes to the Knicks and they don't make the playoffs twice. And now he's on the Pistons and they are this.
I mean,
maybe he just has bad vibes. Yeah, I mean, I think it's entirely possible.
It is very possible that is going to happen. Wasn't he on a college team with Derek White too? Or is he too old? Derek White might be younger than him.
I know Derek White was like 25 when he got drafted. So yeah, it's entirely possible.
Yeah. Anyway. I mean,
it's just, when you look at Troy Weaver's record, almost all the trades are extremely confusing. Mm-hmm. Like, they're just, they're also complicated. They all have second round picks. You're never sure if the Pistons are going to get or receive a pick when you just look at the trade, because you're like, they're trading a high second round pick and Mason Plumlee. Do they include a pick with that, or do they lose a pick with that? I don't know. Joey, Alec Burks has made the playoffs four times.
What with he the Jazz, with the though, when he was injured, right? The Knicks made it? Oh, I thought he missed it with the Knicks. I must have. Oh, he Joey, missed it the last year with the Knicks. My bad. My bad, Alec Burks.
Yeah, they were, I think they were a terrible four seed, I believe, that
year. Wow.
But he's played a total of 22 playoff games, Joey.
Never mind. Never mind. I apologize. I was not familiar with your game, Alec Burks.
He's a winning player.
I will say, Alec Burks, has he won a playoff game? Because if he has, then he's won more than the Pistons have in the last 15 years in the playoffs. And he might have played in more playoff games than the Pistons did.
He's won a round. The Knicks won one game against the Trae Young Hawks when Trae was the king of New York and did his Broadway bow. Uh-huh,
yeah.
And then in 2018, they won a round. The one first. Wow.
He's beating the hell out of us as far as that goes. So
yeah,
I think we need to apologize to Alec.
I'm sorry, Alec Burks. My bad. All right, my next question for you. So we've covered the Troy Weaver angle, kind of. How maybe it's his fault. But should we also now cover the Monty Williams part? Is it maybe his fault?
Wait, so who did the Pistons, who did Troy Weaver actually want to hire as the head coach?
So the rumors were that he wanted to hire Kevin Ollie, the former journeyman point guard mm-hmm. and head coach of UConn basketball.
Best mustache in NBA history.
Who was at the time was working with Overtime Elite in some sort of coaching capacity. And apparently ownership wasn't super keen on that. And they were interviewing one of Bud, I think it was Bud's lead assistant from the Bucks. I feel bad that I don't remember what his name is, but and I think ownership wanted that a little bit more, but they were having a hard time coming to a decision. And I think Monty was ultimately like Gores stepped in and opened up the checkbook, and like that was who he wanted.
Always a great sign when the owner goes out of the way, does not listen to the general manager or the players.
And just kind of had Monty Williams over to his house, too. Like, I don't think he came to Detroit, did he?
I mean, probably not. I other than going to games, I don't think Tom Gores goes to Detroit very much. He doesn't have as many Coke dealers out there. So yeah. I think he likes his guys back home.
He'd have to deal with Dan Gilbert and Matt Ishbia's gang war as well, which I hear is the most devastating thing to hit. Just mortgage brokers throwing subpoenas at each other in drive-bys. It's rough.
Yeah,
it's the streets are mean out there, and it's really tough to get territory. It's really not worth it. So he outsources that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But why does Monty hate Jaden Ivey?
I don't know. And I really wish that I did. I think the reason that is generally given is that, like, Ivy's a second-year guard. Second-year guards are usually bad at defense unless they're, like, you know, Marcus Sasser, who they just drafted, who's, like, 23.
Uh-huh.
And so I think he'll miss a rotation or two and Monty will get mad. And it's the most, like, coach-brained thing where, like, the one or two mistakes that somebody makes, you immediately try to scuttle their development. Uh-huh. And also, he's like one of the only ball handlers they have that can get consistent rim pressure.
Warriors fans were familiar with that behavior.
Mm-hmm.
This is very Kerr. This is very Steve Kerr for sure. Like it's just like we gotta. Suns fans were saying apparently he had this dynamic. Like Ayton, he has like a young player that he hates, mm-hmm. and then he has a young player or like a veteran that he wants to marry his daughters. And so Ayton was the guy that he hated. And apparently he loved Landry Shamet, and some fans hated Landry Shamet. And so I think that unfortunately Ivy is the DeAndre Ayton in this scenario. And I
Killian Hayes.
Killian is the Landry Shamet, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what is Monty doing during the summer that is, does he go somewhere that doesn't have cell service? Does he have like a thumb injury? Why can't he communicate with a single one of his young players during the summer? That seems to be a perpetual problem.
Yeah, I don't know. The thing is, like, it was such like a whirlwind hiring that I feel like I don't really know Monty that well as a coach. It was more just like, oh, we got like a guy that's won games and they paid a lot of money for him. It's like, I won't have to worry about this was my attitude going into the season. But like all of the bullshit that I think Suns fans rightfully were throwing at him throughout his entire tenure there, it's like all hitting me at the same time where I was like, oh, I didn't know any of this. Like I had no idea what I was getting into. All I knew was that like Monty is like coach of the year winner. You know, help take the Suns to the next level, which it seems like was more a Chris Paul thing than a him thing at this point. And like, otherwise, I knew that he had had some really bad personal turmoil. So I was like, and honestly, I think that might be a big problem with it is, and I don't blame him. He looks like he does not want to be there. And I wouldn't want to be there either. Uh-huh. So, I mean, combined with how shitty that job seems like it is and like the stuff with his family, like I do blame him because he's making $8 million a year, but like I think it's understandable when nothing's coming together how it could just completely fall apart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not always a good sign when a coach insists for 2 months that he just wants to stop doing basketball and hang out with his family. And then the answer's like, well, it was such an overwhelming amount of money, I guess I had to.
Yeah, that's not usually a recipe for success.
It's not like, just, like,
open up the checkbook.
Yeah. Like, well, I owe it to my family to do this in case I die. I can provide for them. You know, like it's the kind of thing that you hear. I don't know, like a guy who's going back into a coal mine with black lung disease because there's a bonus that month.
It's actually a key plot point in the Disney Channel original movie Brink, where Andy Brink's dad is sick and he's got to go play for Team X-Blades in order to pay for whatever medical condition he has.
Yeah.
So I think this is definitely a Brink situation with Monty.
Okay, Tom. Good to know. We've covered the front office. We've covered the coaching staff.
We've covered Alec Burks.
We've covered Alec Burks, but other than
possible
Alex,
locker room cancer, but we don't know.
Now let's talk about the players. Whose fault are all these losses?
I think it would be really easy to say James Wiseman and fun, and so I'm going to do it first.
Yeah.
But like weirdly, I was looking and he hasn't been as bad this month, which is to say that he went from having like the worst on-off splits I've ever seen for a player to like, oh, they're like only 5 points worse when he's on the court than they normally are. And he's shooting like 78% from the field and he has more assists than turnovers.
He always gets buckets, dude. That's one thing he always does is he gets buckets at the detriment of everyone else on the floor.
He's got 10 assists in 7 games,
Joey.
Good
for him, dude.
Yeah, he's truly evolving into just a bad center who he like is like a slightly better version. There was a point during the season where his numbers were almost identical to Jahlil Okafor's numbers as a Piston, and I thought that that was a little on the nose, so I'm glad that he took that to heart. But, I mean, I think a lot of it has to do with him. I mean, last episode you cited the stat of them going, I think they're 4-48 now since they traded for him.
We should say we're recording this on December 19th, which will become a theme later on in this episode. Just bear with us. But
as of right now, it's a 24-game losing streak.
And the single season record is 26. There's been a longer streak by the Sixers a couple of years ago, but it spanned 2 seasons, and I just don't think that counts. You can't, because they added a bunch of players during that streak. It's disrespectful to Jared Bayless, I believe, was their prime addition that summer. But he doesn't need to be tarred with that.
Gerald Henderson was already on that Bobcats team that won like 7 games.
Wow. That's like an ESPN 10 for 10 documentary where you want to explore it, but not really for that long, you know.
Anyway, back to the
James
players.
James Wiseman had a 20-13 game.
I know.
4 days ago.
And they lost.
But I mean, he was.
He gets buckets, dude.
He got a block. two turnovers, 9 for 12. I mean, that's. They lost by 32 points, though.
The problem is that he still plays defense like in a movie where someone doesn't realize they're dead and they're like a ghost. It looks like he should be making contact, but nobody notices he's around the rim defending.
He's only -5 in 27 minutes in that game, but that might say more about the 76ers, who are the only team that has more centers than the Pistons, I believe.
They knew it was going to be an arms race, so they planned accordingly. They knew who their main competitor was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so who else, other than James Wiseman, who else has been at fault here? And Alec
it's
Burks.
And Alec Burks. I think a big part of it, like early in the season, it was turnovers, and that was a Cade and Jaden Ivey and just general team problem.
Sure.
But since they moved Isaiah Stewart away from playing power forward, Cade's turnover numbers have gone way down. His efficiency numbers have gone up. He's starting to play the way that you kind of hoped that he would.
Mm-hmm.
He looks and like I think a cool vampire still.
He still looks like a cool vampire. Yeah, so like... he's got that going for him at the very least. But they, I think their spacing was just terrible. So it was a combo of, I mean, I love Asar Thompson. They were playing a lineup with him at small forward. Stewart, who on paper looks like he could maybe shoot threes, but passes, like only shoots them wide open, passes them up constantly. And then the whatever rotation of Durin, Marcus Bagley, James Wiseman, of either like marginal shooters or guys that can't shoot. Mm-hmm. And I think teams knew that they didn't have to respect the perimeter, so they would just completely clog the paint. And it meant that they could just get into passing lanes. I think the passing instincts for their guards, you know, they were throwing balls where normally there'd be spacing for you to get away with it, and teams were just stealing it.
Well, also, and, it's important, back to James Wiseman, he cannot catch a pass.
That's a really
he's
good
very
point.
Bad at it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he just befuddled by the act of catching a basketball.
Yeah.
He does always look surprised whenever he gets an entry pass. Like, he really doesn't seem like he's ever expecting it.
Okay, so I want to ask one question, then I have a little game for you. Mm-hmm. Okay. How do you think Steven Silas feels about leaving the Rockets for the Pistons? Well, okay, not really leaving, getting fired as the coach of the Rockets and then landing with the Detroit Pistons this year.
I think that this is, I'm glad you brought this up, because I didn't think of this when we were in the who is at fault section of this, and it might be Steven Silas. Because
yeah,
I remember
just saw him there and we're like, oh no, this, we've seen this guy.
Yeah, by all accounts, he seems like a nice dude. But there was one day where I remembered that he was their lead assistant, because when I still was like, oh, Monty's got this, like we finally got, you know, Dwayne Casey seems like a nice guy, but we got a guy that's like winning in modern NBA basketball. And he got Steven Silas. Well, they got a head coach as their, you know, lead assistant, like that's probably good, right? But I remembered he was there, and I looked at his record as a coach, including assistant jobs, and it's really like, he, speaking of that Bobcats team, he was an assistant coach on that Bobcats team.
Well, you know who else he was an assistant coach for? The 2006 to 2010 Golden State Warriors.
Was that Keith Smart that was the coach for them?
That's multiple.
Well, it's the end of Don Nelson and then Keith Smart. Yes. He sort of leaves because Keith Smart gets that job and not him, actually.
He could be where Mark Jackson is right now.
Yeah.
Hustling for change. No,
he could have been the one doing exorcisms on players. Yeah. I think it's unfair that it wasn't allowed to happen.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to tell you the positive things that the Pistons are among the league leaders in, and you tell me if you know, just how you feel about it, if you're, how proud you are about it. Okay, this team is sixth in minutes played.
Okay,
I mean, look, that's top 10. I think you gotta take a top 10 spot where you can get it.
They are leading the league in two-point attempts.
You know, I mean, why go crazy? It's tightening the belt a little bit right
Bird
now.
In the
points
hand.
Are hard to come by.
Bird in the hand.
You gotta go for the sure thing.
And they're fifth in two-pointers made, which is less encouraging when you know they're first in attempts, but that's top five.
I'm just imagining Monty putting this on a resume.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the like, I like to bullshit a resume, so like I respect that Monty is doing this to preserve any future job opportunities.
Yeah. He's going to prove he can do an Excel spreadsheet with this as well. 12th, I'm sorry, in free throw percentage. So there's maybe some hope. They are last in 3-point field goals attempts and percentage, but they always say that if somebody, like coming out of college, somebody who can shoot free throws, it's encouraging for their outside shooting potential.
Yeah. Really,
they're bringing them along slow. They're working their way up.
Yeah.
Every day in practice, they take a shot from 1 inch further back, and
they're like me when I worked at Jimmy John's. Right now, the young guys are. It's like, let's not get him on the sandwich line immediately. Let's put him at the register. He's more comfortable there. He's not going to melt down during the lunch rush and will work his way over there.
Yeah. Okay, they're 11th in the league in offensive rebounds, and they give up the sixth fewest offensive rebounds.
I mean, that's just blue collar lunch pail Detroit basketball.
That's the Joe Louis fist of it's in the DNA of this team.
Yeah. It has nothing to do with the amount of missed shots on offense or defense. Yeah. This is okay. Also, they give up the second fewest 3-point attempts in the league.
Okay, I mean,
they're making the other team play their game.
That's right. I mean, they got these boys practicing to "Till I Collapse" by Eminem. They've got them out there hustling. They're closing out on these guys. And also, you know, maybe teams don't feel like they have to work that hard, and so they lull them into a false sense of security.
They're 15th in the league in blocks with 5.2 per game. That is up 39% from last year.
This is Troy Weaver's vision of a team of centers, a team of all centers out there being big, blocking shots. I think it's beautiful to see.
And then the last thing, 11th in assists given up. So they're denying other teams the pass.
Yeah. They're taking.
They are third to last in steals, but they're tricking those motion offenses by letting them go directly to the rim, I believe.
I was going to say, I just had like a highlight reel of every just completely undefended, like waltz to the rim finish that happens like 25 times a game against the Pistons. Yeah.
So, you know, they're not bad. They're not terrible in the four factors. I mean, they're kind of terrible in the four factors, but offensive rebound rate, free throws per field goal attempt, middle of the pack. And they do get boards. It's just the turnovers and the fouling and the making shots, which seems to be, I don't think they're the worst team in the league, Joey.
Oh, who's the worst team in the league, Sean?
I think the Wizards are worse than them. Wow. I know they haven't been so far, but I really do think having Bojan is a lot better. Jeez. And, you know, Marcus Morris ever going to play? Not Marcus Morris, Monty Morris. Jesus.
Yeah, Marcus Morris is a former Piston.
Yeah.
So you can be forgiven for thinking of better times. Monty Morris has been hurt, and they keep extending the timeline for it. So I don't, like, I was super excited to get him because they desperately need a guy that can run your offense without fucking up, which is what he does.
Yeah, so, and like playing all these big guys, just having like one guy who can definitely throw an entry pass.
Well, that's what feels like it would go a long way.
I think the problem with Cade has largely been that he has to do everything. Yeah, so having a guy that can like give him some possessions off is definitely a plus.
Okay. So Tom, here's what we're going to do. Like I said, we're recording on December 19th. I'm going to give you every game they have going up to January 1st. And you're going to tell me why they lost. All right, so Thursday. Thursday, December 21st.
Can I? Oh, yeah, go ahead, sorry.
I know, I got it, Sean. I know what we're going to do here. Yeah, yeah. All right, Thursday, December 21st. Tom, Jazz versus Pistons. Why did the Pistons lose this game?
Kelly Olynyk revenge game. This has been bulletin board material for him for a while, and he's ready to get us at our lowest.
He's playing close to Canada too, and that gives him unimaginable powers.
Canada's red sun fuels him.
Okay, Tom, that was great. Now we're gonna re-record, and you're gonna tell me why they won this game. All right, Thursday, December 21st, Tom. Why did the Pistons snap the losing streak against the Utah Jazz?
John Collins attempts to recreate the plane dunk pregame and injures himself and several teammates.
Oh, that's sad.
John
predictable,
Collins
but
back
sad.
On the block. You know what John Collins feels like to me? a Troy Weaver trade acquisition.
He's been rumored to the Pistons numerous times, so I think this is finally going to happen.
Yeah. All right. Saturday, December 23rd, Pistons at Nets, Tom. Why did they lose this game?
Dennis Smith Jr. revenge game. This has been bulletin board material for him for a while. And he's going to show why he was a top 10 pick.
Yeah.
Okay, that was great. Tom, this is so great. I'm going to edit this so you look like a genius, like you guessed which game they were going to win. It's going to go great. So let's do one if they win. Saturday, December 23rd, Tom, Pistons at Nets. Why did the Pistons snap their losing streak in this game?
Unfortunately, Spencer Dinwiddie is distraught from his numerous crypto investments going underwater. And I think there's been another NFT breach for apes. So his mind is elsewhere. He's a turnstile on defense even more than usual.
Wow. James Wiseman stole his apes. All right. Tuesday, December 26th, day after Christmas, Tom, Nets at Pistons again.
We got to stop playing the Nets. I think this is.
Tom, why did they lose this game?
Isaiah Livers starts and has a horrible Vietnam style flashback to the 2018 national championship game. One Mikal Bridges. Mikal Bridges goes for 55 points. Detroit loses by 25.
All right. This is going great, Tom. Tom, why did they break the win streak on this game?
Oh, say losing streak.
Oh, sorry. Why did they break the losing streak on this game?
I don't know if you guys remember the 2018 national title game, but Michigan lost to a pretty loaded Villanova team. And I think that Isaiah Livers has been stewing on that for a long time. So we're going to get a 40-point outburst from him.
Speaking of stewing, you know who had a monster game? Beef Stew with a hearty 12-12.
They tied the record, but they did not break it.
All right. This is great. Tom, Thursday, December 28th, Pistons at Celtics. Tom, why did the Pistons lose this game?
They were playing the Boston Celtics and they lost.
All right, this is great. Tom, they snapped the losing streak against the Boston Celtics. How did they pull that off?
I don't even know who the Celtics 14th man is, but I'm assuming that this is a situation where they wanted to give the rest of the team a night off, and they put one guy out there.
All right. Saturday, December 30th, Raptors at Pistons. Tom, why did they lose this game?
I've been an advocate for most of the early part of the season for the Pistons to waive James Wiseman and bring up Jonte Porter, the brother of Michael Porter Jr., who is playing for the Motor City Crews and was
Because you believe they're losing because they believe too much in vaccinations.
Yeah, exactly. They need to get red pilled, and so they need a Porter in there. So unfortunately, the Toronto Raptors signed him away before that plan could come to fruition, and I think that he goes for 18-12 in this game.
All right, that's great. Tom, Saturday, December 30th, Raptors at Pistons. Why did the Pistons win this game and break their streak?
I'm going to say Grady Dick. Someone said something mean to him at the start of the game, and the rest of the team had to console him for the majority of the contest.
Oh, that's so sad.
That's a bummer.
And finally, Monday, January 1st, New Year's Day, Pistons at Rockets. Tom, why did the Pistons lose this game?
Know that the rivalry between the Rockets and Pistons, the very real good rivalry, especially between Cade and Jalen Green, has been percolating for a long time. And the Rockets just showed that they wanted it more, and they were willing to hire a more proven coach under worse circumstances. So more power to him.
See, I was going to say it's because the Thompson twins shook hands at the beginning of the game and the world exploded like in Southland Tales. All right.
I thought they were going to just share one jersey, maybe.
All right. Finally, tell them this is great. You're doing great. All right. Monday, January 1st, Pistons at Rockets. Tom, it's the new year, new team. How did they win this game?
Dylan Brooks has been really good lately, and unfortunately, he went 2 of 38 in this game.
Yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah, he Bugs Bunny memed himself and back to the old me. Tom, that was perfect. Thank you so much. Tom, is there anything you'd like to plug?
You can follow me on Twitter at Tom_not_Tom, and I am the co-host of a Survivor podcast called Did You Watch Survivor Last Night? That is available where all fine podcasts can be found.
Oh, man. That you've got a big finale tomorrow, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm just kind of sick of Jeff Probst. You'll get if you listen to the podcast, you'll hear about me complaining about Jeff Probst a lot. So if that's something that you think you might like, then please tune in.
How do you think he feels about people who quit? Does he have any strong feelings about that?
He's honestly softened on it, and I think it says a lot about society that he's letting quitters get away without getting dunked on.
Yeah, just like 10 minutes of this is ridiculous. People give their whole lives for this, and you're walking away because you've got pneumonia?
I want to hear him give a nobody wants to work any age to a Survivor contestant. Yeah. And he's too woke now.
I will say people were quiet quitting Survivor. I've only seen up to about season 24, but I feel like people were quiet quitting before it was a term on Survivor.
All right. Thanks so much, Tom. You're welcome on whenever you want. Great job predicting.
And congratulations on the Pistons breaking that streak.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, do you think I have one more question for you? I'm sorry. I know we already said goodbye to you, but is it a bad idea that Matt Ishbia, Mr. Pontiac, Michigan, Mr. Michigan State, Mr. Detroit, fired the guy the Pistons then gave a record-setting NBA contract to?
It's not a good look, but I think in the Detroit owner gangland wars, you know, you got to work with what you have, and I think you got to pounce on any potential competitive advantage. So I think at the time it made sense.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, Tom. Follow Tom on Twitter. All right. That was us with Tom, where he correctly predicted which games the Detroit Pistons would lose and which games they would win. Abe, I hope you got a window into an answer here in your soul searching. Sean, that's our episode, and that's the year 2023.
We're out of here, baby.
Is there anything you'd like to pluck?
America's Uncle Dad comes out wherever you stream your comedy albums,
mm-hmm.
that will exist in limited physical form, because how many CDs should I produce? Like 7? Is that the demand for this thing? If you're in Sacramento next weekend, hit me up. I'm around. Got a lot of free time. Read me on Yard Barker and Golden State of Mind and Giants Baseball Insider. Mm-hmm. And if you want, I was on AJ Brzezinski's video podcast talking about crime in San Francisco, ironically, a week before my car was stolen, but not from a place in San Francisco. It was argumentative, mm-hmm. but I was also mean about a guy's necklace for no reason, so I apologize for that. So I should have.
I don't know. It seemed like they liked you in the end.
Good. It was fine.
They're sharing a lot of clips from your episode.
They really were. Adrian didn't like that I said he needs somebody in the nuts because I read it in the paper, and he's like, they got that story wrong, and now you got it wrong. And I was like, all right. But
okay.
I still think you probably did.
They'll
have me on to debate that again, I think. But, I mean, what am I going to say? It's his knee, not my nuts.
And then as for me,
that's my next album, not my nuts.
Right. And then as for me, you can always follow me on Twitter at Frankie Muniz, where Sean, I just found a banger Frankie Muniz tweet we've never read before.
So excited. What a way to close out the year.
We're on 8/15/2011. I tweeted, I love that everyone keeps telling me I'm in the upcoming movie New Year's Eve. I am not in that movie. I promise.
Oh my God. Well, happy New Year's Eve to all of you, especially Frankie.
Mm-hmm.
And congratulations. I can't believe he is pledging at the $500 a month level on the Patreon. That's just incredible generosity.
It's incredible. Thank you, Frankie. Sean, did you have a song that you wanted us to hear?
No, I'm going to wait till next week because I'm going to tell you what the song is. It's a song about Jason Tatum's tattoos.
Great.
It requires a rap performance and it's too much rapping for me.
Fair enough.
So I need to, once I figure out a way to get out of that portion of the song, it's going to be the next episode.
We know some people that rap. Can you have a guest for once?
I mean, they would just think about rapping about Jason Tatum's tattoos is the thing.
I mean, you wrote the lyrics, I assume.
I did. I guess
you know,
that's true.
They just like, well, we'll see what we can do here.
We'll see what we can do.
But what song do you want to hear today?
Oh,
to
great.
Close
yeah, yeah,
out
yeah.
the year.
Okay. Let's close out the year with Mr. Whiteside.
Mr. Whiteside, great.
The killer song with Hassan Whiteside.
Sean, are you gonna do any New Year's resolutions this year?
Yeah, I'm gonna resolve to not take any shit from anyone. Keep kicking ass and stop taking names because I don't even care what your name is.
I was gonna say you should do one that's easy to accomplish where you should say like, this is the year. I say this every year, but this is the year I'm going to get married.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. That way you actually accomplish your New Year's resolution.
Okay, so
it's a guarantee.
I'm gonna finally put out a comedy album.
Uh-huh,
somehow
yeah.
I'm gonna get married.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it might take me a while, but at some point I'm gonna celebrate my dog's second birthday.
Mm-hmm.
I think I can make it happen.
And as for me, I am going to resolve to play Cinenerdle 2 only 5 hours a day instead of the 8 I've been playing it. Battle mode only, of course.
Yeah,
speaking of which, if anyone wants to battle me on Cinenerdle, just let me know. I'll do it. Yeah. But just know I'm walking you into the Noah Baumbach hole. And that's how I win like 90% of my games. I get them in the Noah Baumbach hole. And they don't know how to get out of kicking and screaming, buddy. And guess what? I do. I know how to get out of kicking and screaming. Trust the process.
Trust the process.
And shut it down. Let's all drag our friends into the Noah Baumbach hole and leave them for dead.
Coming out of Miami and I'm doing just fine. Gotta rebound because I want the ball. It started off with a miss and now I'm in an abyss. Clint Capela is Swiss, Clint Capela is Swiss. Now I'm talking to Pat and he's dumping my deal. I'm beefy and bad like a cutlet of veal. Now Jimmy's coming to town and I'm putting up bricks. They had a sign a trade and Dallas won't take Dragic now. The tax line is closed. Trade me for Mo. I just can't shoot. It's killing me. And taking up cap space. Jealousy can't contest a big man's three. Getting hands on basketballs, choking on that foul calls.
But it's not a big fence league. The big three is calling. I feel the bench under my thighs. 'Cause I'm Mr. Whiteside. I'm coming over to Portland and I'm doing just fine. Reservation at Tusk, that's where I wanna dine. Playing with CJ and Dane, the racists love my last name. Myers Leonard was lame, Myers Leonard was lame. Now I'm riding the bike and I'm not eating meat. And my balls are real sore, 'cause it's a vintage seat. And I'm riding the bench and I'm backing up Nurkic. Locker's full of kebabs, 'cause Enes Kanter is Turkish. He took off for Boston. J.J. Tatum ain't old. I can't play D, it's killing me. Can't guard the pick and roll. Efficiency, advanced stats are my enemy. Ruining the Blazers' fun, buying an illegal gun. But I'm just not likable. Portland, you ain't calling. I got a max I barely try, 'cause I'm Hassan Whiteside.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Confidence starts with loving who you are. And when your skin feels nourished and glows on the outside, you naturally radiate confidence from the inside. Give your skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven Mega Moisture Duo. This ultra-hydrating body care features two of Osea's best sellers, Undaria Algae Body Oil and Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. These seaweed-powered heroes use skincare-level ingredients normally reserved for your face for results you can see and confidence you can feel. Osea has been making clean, clinically proven seaweed-infused face and body care products for over 28 years. This luxurious skincare is vegan, cruelty-free, and climate-neutral certified, so you never have to choose between your values and your best skin. Glow from the inside out. Get 10% off your first order with code GLOW at OseaMalibu.com. That's OseaMalibu.com, code GLOW.